big report today.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
Good morning from American Public Media in Los Angeles. I'm Steve Chiatakis. Thanks for being with us this morning. We've been seeing a lot of signs of recovery recently, but we keep hearing that ugly term, jobless recovery. Well, this morning, we're going to find out how we're doing on that front. It's the first Friday of the month. That means in just a few hours, we'll be getting the government's unemployment report for last month. And Marketplace's Jeremy Hobson has a preview.
Economists are predicting the unemployment rate will rise just a bit for the month of July, from 9.5% to 9.6%. That would be the highest percentage of Americans out of work since 1983, when the U.S. experienced almost a year's worth of double-digit unemployment. Still, the report is expected to show that the pace of job cuts continues to slow. Economists think about 330,000 jobs were lost in July. That would be far below the number lost in June. So when will all the first Fridays of the month start to be a little more uplifting? Well, the Treasury Secretary says we may not stop bleeding jobs until the middle of next year. But with 6.5 million people already laid off since the recession began, there will be a lot of competition once companies start hiring again. In New York, I'm Jeremy Hobson for Marketplace.
World markets are being cautious ahead of the U.S. unemployment report. European markets lower right now, less than 1%. Asian shares closed mixed today. Hong Kong shares tumbled more than 2%. The Nikkei added a small fraction to close at its highest level in 10 months. On Wall Street yesterday, the Nasdaq lost a full percent, while the S&P dropped 0.5%. The Dow was off about 24 points to close at 92.56. Today, a brewing trade spat between the United States and China falls on the official agenda in Washington. The U.S. trade representative is holding a hearing on tires and whether China exports too many tires to the United States. From Shanghai, here's Marketplace's Scott Tong.
On one side of this dispute is the United Steelworkers. They make the metal wiring that goes in tires. The union says a recent flood of made-in-China imports has disrupted the U.S. tire market and caused 5,000 American factory jobs. The steelworkers want quotas on Chinese tires, plus a 55% tariff. To China, that would equal protectionism. Shi Mingqi is with the Shanghai Academy for Social Sciences.
This could become a symbolic case and encourage more American companies and trade unions to introduce more this kind of case against China's exports.
Should the White House play hardball, he expects China to retaliate against U.S. exports, a.k.a. trade war. This is a tough call, since China is America's largest foreign creditor. After today's hearing, the U.S. trade representative will recommend to the president whether to impose the tariffs. And then the president makes the final decision, probably next month. In Shanghai, I'm Scott Tong for Marketplace.
The new head of the nation's emergency management agency says he likes the idea of citizens tweeting during times of trouble. FEMA Administrator Craig Fugate says blogs and social networking make it easier for people to post videos and communicate during disasters. He says having hundreds of thousands of people posting updates during storms makes perfect sense and can make a big difference. Fugate says it's better than waiting for the government to speak.
Sustainability coverage is supported in part by the Candida Fund, furthering values that contribute to a healthy planet.
Imagine living in a house rent or mortgage free. No property taxes either. The catch? You have to be good with a hammer. Maryland's historic home curator program looks for elbow grease to pay the way. Kathy Duchamp reports.
Historic is the key word here. You do get a house for life, but you have to renovate it at your own expense. That could be a lot, depending on the condition of the property.
This floor we could save. This one, I mean, we were just sanding and sanding, and it was coming up in clumps in our hands.
That's Bridget Hiskey. She's reliving the renovation of the 1880s farmhouse that had become a run-down party pad. Now it's the home where the Hiskeys are raising two kids.
It was all bad. My husband called it our own private crack house because it was horrifying. But we loved it, you know. We just said, okay, yeah, we can do this. We were young and had a lot of energy, I guess.
The Hiskies were in their late 20s when they set out to restore this house. It's set in a pasture surrounded by woodlands in a state park outside Baltimore, Maryland. 16 years and $200,000 later.
I really feel like we resurrected something. We brought something back.
There are a handful of historic home curator programs nationwide, most on the East Coast. The goal, to preserve structures on state land at no cost to taxpayers. Bruce Alexander runs Maryland's program. He's a landlord over 43 properties. Alexander says don't apply if your main interest is to live rent-free.
Because first and foremost, the curatorship program is a historic preservation program. It is not a free house program. So when we have proposals, we really gauge people on the basis of their interest and ability in historic preservation.
As part of the application, would-be curators have to submit detailed restoration plans that include budgets. Banks generally don't make construction loans for homes that can't be sold, which might explain the dip in interest Alexander's seen in the program lately.
Perhaps the thought to invest this money in a property that they don't necessarily own at this time isn't maybe something that people are willing to do just yet.
So why did the Hiskies do it?
We have other investments. I'm not saying they're doing great in this market, but, you know, like everybody else, it's swinging. And here, this is just a dream.
A house in the country that if the Hiskies fix and maintain, they can stay in forever. In Woodstock, Maryland, I'm Kathy Duchamp for Marketplace.
Finally, if you haven't been binging enough, Microsoft wants you to get to its site with a new jingle. The company this week announced the winner of that jingle contest. It's been running since July. Bing, bing, bing goes the internet. Bing, bing. Jonathan Mann, who's known on YouTube as the Rock Cookie Bottom, received the crown. He'll get a $500 American Express card. Only problem? His jingle and the goofy dance on the video that goes with it has been getting a lot of negative reviews. The Chicago Tribune reports comments were running 3-1 against the song. In Los Angeles, I'm Steve Chiatakis. Thanks for being with us. Have a very nice weekend.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.